If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.
You're on Radio Murdoch. This is Pixel Sift, and this is our third episode, our third week on the air. This week we're going out live, hopefully, with all fingers crossed.
How's it going, Bush Court?
Yeah, you should be able to hear us coming through, hopefully, through the airways. If not, we are available online. This is your weekly video games show on Radio Murdoch. I'm in studio here. My name is Gianni, and I'm joined by my co-hosts...
Mitch.
And...
Scott.
Scott. Cool. All right. We're in the thing for another week. So what are we going to have a little bit of a chat about this week? We've got a few great things to talk about. Some very interesting developments coming out of here. A lot about big business we're talking about this week, about the business of games. We're going to be talking about people coming together, uniting, people trying to stand up to the man. Mm-hmm. We're talking about companies uniting and breaking apart. And we're also going to be talking a little bit about how... people can make money out of games, which is how this is all kind of wrapped together in the end. So it's all a very nice package for all of this. So let's talk about a little bit about our first topic for this week. And if you remember from last week, if you were listening in or if you checked us out on iTunes, which you can totally do, you can subscribe on iTunes.
Please do that.
Yeah, we are Pixel Sift on iTunes. Have a search for that one. We were talking a little bit about the Screen Actors Guild, and unfortunately last week we didn't get the name right. So it's the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists, so SAG-AFTRA, and they were going to announce that they were calling for a strike, basically canvassing their members, who are all film and television actors, who also work on video games. So currently at the moment, video games are considered a sort of a separate category to all of their other sort of work that they currently do. And what SAG-AFTRA is calling for, and they have now reached the threshold for, was a strike to renegotiate.
So now they actually can strike.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yep. Pretty much they were waiting for member approval, and now that they've hit that threshold of 96.5% of their members voted in favor of a strike, and they only need 75% to strike. And basically what they want is that if a game becomes exceedingly popular, and we know lots of games these days are selling, you know, hundreds of millions of copies and things like that, they want to set up a system in which bonuses can be paid to the actors.
So what exactly are those numbers then? Are they?
So the first threshold that they're asking for is when a game hits a 2 million sales.
Yep.
So we're talking about quite big games. This is not your indie games. It's not going to really affect you.
You're talking your GTAs,
We're talking about big publishers.
Yeah.
We're talking Activision, Blizzard, Warner Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
EA.
Millions and millions of dollars production value, that
exactly
kind of thing.
Right. Similar to what you'd see with
your standard AAA title, pretty much.
Pretty much your AAA title. So 2 million sales upwards. And then, again, bonuses to be incremented as they hit 4 million, 6 million, and 8 million sales.
So just by every 200 million. Wait, no.
2 million.
Every 2 million threshold you get. Does the bonus get bigger every time? Or is it exponential?
I would say it would do. They haven't really, because it's in the negotiation stage. So if they go to a strike, what they'll do is then they'll go to the table with all these companies that are employing these union actors, and they will go, okay, well, what are we going to do? How are we going to
work? We should stress that this is absolutely not a government thing.
No.
No. It's like... This is just the union.
But with the American entertainment industry, they're very the film unions, the Screen Actors Guild, and the film makers, and all those particular unions are very powerful, and they do call a lot of the shots of how things are made, because it's very with those where things are very like hard and grueling, and you're working really hard. You know, they want to make sure that their members are well looked after and not taken advantage of. So. Yeah, it's pretty interesting to see this sort of thing happening in parallel to these huge entertainment industries.
Yeah, because it's been a similar thing in film and music for years. And when do our voice actors suddenly become actors?
Well, it's just one of those, one of the last things of kind of the video game scene to be taken, you know, as seriously as the rest of media, I guess. You know, it took a long time for tournaments to be taken seriously, just as a kind of industry, I guess, because it is games. We've been a little bit behind on some of those things.
I think games were stuck in a place where people were just considering them toys.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I mean by taken seriously, I guess. I mean, these actors are being taken to the same credit as film and TV actors now, which I think is...
It's exactly like what we were talking about a few weeks ago on our first episode when we were chatting about how these things were huge industries now, and especially where you mentioned there, you're talking about tournaments, for example. You know, these tournaments make a lot of money, mm-hmm. and esports are very popular. And you know, speaking of that, actually, this week, only a few days ago, the large teams that have come out of the tournament circuit.
So we're talking esports teams. Your LOLs, your League of Legends, your
Dota, Counter-Strike Go.
Yep.
All of these teams who play in these professional tournaments, which bring in huge amounts of viewership and mm-hmm. huge amounts of financial gain for the creators of these games, have now kind of banded together as well. And it's an interesting time.
See, this is really interesting because I don't actually fully understand this, because I thought they were all separate. But like, it turns out, like, who? I wonder who leads them. Like, who? I mean, they must have a leader of some kind.
So there was an open letter sent, and it was from representatives of the major teams. And some of these teams, who you may or may not know, some of them called Na'Vi. There's one called Team Liquid,
Cloud9, CLG, TSM, VP.
Team Liquid, I'm familiar with.
Envious, is another
Fnatic.
Yep. There's heaps of other teams as well. So they've all kind of come together, and I guess they would all be, you know, at these tournaments together. So they got into a situation where they're like, look, you know, it's expensive for us to train. It's expensive for us to travel to these tournaments, which are all over the world.
Mm.
And we need to kind of set up a sort of a baseline where we can say, well, this is worth our time to come along.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what they've called for. So they've sent an open letter basically to the top esports tournament leagues. And some of those would be like Major League Gaming, for example, the ESL. There's lots of Dota Cinema, for example, Dota Pit, Counter Pit, a bunch of different online tournaments. Basically asking for a minimum level of standard for their people who are coming along. And it's really interesting to see this, that the numbers they're talking about are pretty big numbers.
I've got the numbers right here, actually. Are we talking about prize money here?
Talking about prize money. And anything that doesn't reach this limit, it's an automatic rejection of an invite.
So the minimum amount of prize money for CSGO will be $75,000, excluding travel support. And for Dota 2, it'll be $100,000, including in-game tickets, but excluding travel support.
So before they'll even rock up, they want at least be $1,000 worth of prize.
See, here's this thing. So it's the prize money that they have an issue with. Mm. What about, because I know sports teams now, they get paid just to play. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think the problem is
that's like a salary, though.
That's true.
They're played by their club,
That's true.
They get a sponsorship and stuff as well. And that plays into these teams as well. They'll have a lot of sponsorships and deals with different companies and things like that.
So are we going to start seeing things like join Team Liquid's like club thing? It seems like you got like an Eagles and a Dockers
like a fan, but fan like a membership club.
Do you think that kind of thing is going to start to emerge?
Maybe. Totally.
Do you think the union will govern that?
Who knows? It's hard to say, but I think that sort of stuff is definitely something to consider. The problem with the LAN things as well is that when we're talking about this sort of money that's coming along, and they say specifically exclude travel support, is because if you are a team that goes along and you take your entire team along, you've got six people there.
This is usually about six guys. Do they have subs?
I don't know if they've got subs, but they take
probably
a team of people. They've got managers, they've got coaches, they've got everything that they need to support their team, plus all their gear that they've got to move. Yep. They've got to sort out accommodation, all that sort of stuff. If they get knocked out in the first round and they don't win any prize money, that's an expensive trip for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How do they deal with it? So that's out of their own pocket, is it?
Yeah, well, it would be all part of their sponsorship packages.
Currently,
as well.
I see.
So travel support is the big thing that they're saying.
So when they say excluding travel support, does that mean they want travel support as well?
So basically, what I think the idea is that if they qualify for one of these international tournaments mm-hmm. where they're playing these big esports leagues, they're saying if you get into the finals, then you and they're traveling to, say, for example, the Heroes of the Storm one, which was recently in Las Vegas.
Yep.
So they're saying that if these teams come along and they've been selected, some of them traveled from Australia, we had some from, because we're part of the US region for that, there should be some sort of travel arrangement for those people.
I see.
Yeah, because it is, it's part of their business.
And they're demanding this not of the developer, but of the event organizer.
Of the event organizer,
right?
Yeah.
Which I understand is funded by the fans. If I not
depends
if,
on the type. Correct? So yeah. Some of them, for example, like Major League Gaming or the ESL, for example, they have a tournament system which is similar. They have sponsorships. They have probably sponsorships through the gaming companies as well.
Right.
But they're their own organization. So, for example, mm-hmm. the Heroes of the Storm one, which was recently done, and the International, for example, which is done by Valve and Blizzard, respectively, they have, they're organized by the company themselves.
Yes.
But there are other ones that are out there that exist that are going to be organized by, individual companies. So,
What I'm mainly curious about is where exactly the money comes from.
It's interesting. Yeah.
Because
it's going to be...
I don't know where it comes from.
I mean, these tournaments already have large expenditures of cash. Wherever I feel that they were getting it from before, they'll get it from still.
Where that cash goes in regards to prize money and airfares, I guess.
And hotels as well. Yep, I think they're asking for, well. Basically.
What about meals and things like that? I mean, that must be included.
It would be.
That's what they're saying. In the layout, they're asking for, basically hotel and... travel and accommodation.
Right.
Yeah. And as part of it, they're going to say that we're going to have media reports and things like that. We're going to ask for to give information so they can prove to their sponsors who are putting their names all over their uniforms and mm-hmm. things like that they were showing their stuff prominently,
yeah,
because that's where sponsors get their viewership from. It's also there's big information here. They talk about the broadcasting stats and the geo stats. So if it goes out on things like Twitch or the new YouTube gaming, for example, they want to know how many people have watched it, just like anything else, because they want to be able to say, yes, we have this many subscribers or we have this many thing. So that's pretty much the way it rolls at the moment. So something to check out with. I think this is going to be a developing story. Mm-hmm. We'll have to keep an eye on this one as it goes along, but it's interesting to see this sort of stuff happening in I guess it's a maturation of the industry. You're listening to Pixel Sift on Radio Murdoch. That's right, you are listening to Pixel Sift on Radio Murdoch. You can also listen to us online. You can jump on Twitter as well. We're on Twitter, Pixel.
I'd love to have a chat with you on Twitter.
Yeah, send us some things if you've got some ideas. Thanks, Mum, for sending us tweets. Pixel Sift.
Cheers, Johnny's Mum.
Yeah. Next thing we're going to talk about a little bit is, again, with the bit of the economy and the money of this sort of thing, just recently announced the next chapter in the very popular, at one time, but not as popular as it is now, Guitar Hero series, so coming out of Activision, will be moving to a subscription.
It's interesting that at one point those rhythm games ruled the world.
They did.
And that was all anyone did when you went over to someone's house is you play Guitar Hero and you got out the drum kit and you sang the song that everyone sang.
And everyone,
it was Taylor Swift at the time.
Or Through the Fire and the Flames. If it's Guitar Hero, everyone wants to play Dragon Force.
And you had that one friend that was like that guy at the video game who that was his thing.
Yeah.
And
then he slunk off back to the corner after that, after achieving his party trick. So the rhythm game is something that did have a bit of a meteoric rise, and it was mm-hmm. all over the place all the while. And the big thing about it was that you had lots of downloadable content that was part of it, and they had lots of packages that you could buy and expansions as well. So back in the
PlayStation... I never realized it, but they were... I wouldn't say the pioneers, but they were definitely...
No, game changers, pun intended.
Yeah.
Rock Band 3 especially, I think they only kind of cut the ties to their downloadable music stream. It was probably 6 months ago or something. But, they kept it up going for a long time to support
the people who bought into the game and were enjoying playing it.
I think they balanced the difference between core gamer and casual gamer quite well.
Mm.
It seemed like something everybody could enjoy.
You're right.
For the briefest of moments.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think like anything, these things are fashion trends. But I mean, even back in the day when they were on the previous generation consoles on the PlayStations and the Xboxes, they would sell these extra discs of songs.
They would.
That's how you bought your extra things. Instead of having, when the digital download thing was in place a little bit, but not quite, not really for PlayStation, but more for Xbox.
Yeah.
They would sell these actual discs of expansion content.
It was a little bit like the SingStar packages, they'd just develop it for a new region. Kind of theme. Mm,
exactly right.
SingStar. So, Aqua.
Yeah.
That being said, the rhythm game may not have entirely gone away, because I know as recently as a couple of, well, not as recently as this year, they were still releasing those Just Dance games on the Wii, and they are massive.
Look, the rhythm games will never go anywhere. They've been around for a long time, and they won't go anywhere. Parappa the Rapper comes to mind.
Yep. That's the first one I remember.
Okay, that's the first one I remember as well. Yeah. Somebody posted that onto my Facebook wall the other day.
And you're like, whoa, nostalgia, Parappa the Rapper. Yeah. So anyway, the way that we're going to do, they're moving into a different direction now in terms of actually selling discs as they did once, and then our DLC packages where you buy, you know, five songs or, you know, buy an artist pack or whatever.
Yep.
They're now going to move to, with the Guitar Hero Live, they're moving to a subscription model where you earn credits in the game and you unlock access to different libraries of songs. So for example,
you earn
five Guitar Hero bucks in by playing high score, getting a high score.
Interesting.
In one of the, and then you unlock the ability
to play. So how much is the game itself going to cost?
Well, I think it's going to be normal price.
Okay, so it's a full retail release.
Yeah. I don't know if the old instruments will still work on this.
I doubt it.
Some of them do. I think Rock Band has got some adapters that you can play your old instruments across.
They were on old console, weren't they?
Yeah, but a lot of them are USB-based, so that's true. Not too hard to move across to the new things. But yeah, so you pay for your content as a subscription rather than going, I'll buy one track and I love this track and I'll play it 50 million times a day. You go, all right, well, I've bought 1 week and I can play all the tracks I want on this.
It'll be interesting to see what comes with the default version and then if there are multiple tiers of access.
Yep.
For like, for example, if you're a Netflix customer, you get different tiers of access, like different amount of devices you can use it on and like different quality.
Now, but the big thing I thought about this was, now I don't know if this is your experience of these rhythm games, is that a lot of time they sit in a corner and they gather dust until the moment in which you...
I know someone in particular who has three guitars, they sit next to his TV.
Yeah.
And
until the moment when they can be busted out and those colored buttons can be hammered in quick succession.
I only chucked out my Guitar Hero guitars like a couple of months ago.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
From PS2.
They sit there for a long time. So if you have got these credits on your account to play these games and they are time limited DLC, so you buy a week of whatever thing.
Well, here's the thing.
You could buy it for a week and then next not play it for like 6 months and then play it for like 3 months in a row, you know?
I like this. So it's a week worth of playing time, not just
it's a time
a 7 day.
And then there's no restriction on the content library. It's a bit like the thing that they're throwing around is Spotify, Apple Music, all that sort of thing. So you have access to everything. You just pay to access the service.
So is this, are we going to call this DLC?
Well,
what do we call this?
Streaming.
It is kind of like streaming. It's not really DLC so much as you're not actually downloading it.
Yeah, and you never own it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see what you think about this particular thing. You can jump on online and you can send us a message on Pixel Sift. What do you guys reckon about this?
Well, I mean, I can't speak for Guitar Hero specifically, but Rock Band 4, which is was supposed to land 2 days ago, actually, but we won't be hitting our shelves till October 12th.
Yeah.
It feels like they've sucked it down a little bit and made it streamlined. From what you were saying about Guitar Hero, it sounds like they've gone in different directions, to be honest, a little bit. The new Rock Band 4, apparently, from what I've heard, not enough songs. It's a very strange mix of songs.
Are they going with the subscription model?
I'm not sure at this point. I'm sure just normal, you get the default amount.
Yep.
But I know that they've changed the game modes down to like two or three rather than a lot more. And also, it's coming out pretty expensive as well. It's going to be hitting our shelves for like $500.
What?
Which is also compared to...
So, hang on. You get plastic instruments,
it's
right?
It's Rock Band, so you get the whole thing. But still $500. And I mean, that's...
Whoa.
It's only
that's
costing,
Aussie? Is it Aussie?
That's Aussie. That's only costing $250 in America as well. So, we're getting ripped off a little bit. And we're having to wait an extra week for it.
How committed is the Australian fan base? I would love to know.
They didn't give us any reason for this last minute delay as well. So it's like, it's not going to impress the fan base at all.
But I mean, it's today, it seems like it's only going to be a week that it's been delayed, right?
Mm-hmm.
So presumably...
But they've known about this for a little while and they haven't explained why.
Yeah, but they would be in the country, I reckon. Surely by
would they
now.
Be in the country?
Yeah, they would be. If not in the shops themselves, they would be in the warehouses ready to go.
So if you'd like to form a team, we can go and rob.
Somebody wants to form a raiding squad, we can go and get some Rock
Band. We'll
go 40-man
raid on the
pre-release.
Game. Yep. You may not hear us
then
next
again,
week.
Then again, how badly do you really want your plastic guitar?
Not that badly.
Look, not 500 bucks is a lot of money.
$500
That's
is
more than the current consoles.
Yeah.
I know.
On special, you can get them for like $300 and something bucks.
Yep.
So, do you love Guitar Hero so much that you would go and buy or Rock Band so much that you would go out and buy a new console to play the new version and then buy another new console.
I am genuinely curious. If anybody is actually going to buy this, can you please tweet me a reason why?
Send us a picture of it.
Yeah, please send us a picture of it.
Jamming.
Yeah.
Smashing away on those things there. Yeah, look, it's interesting. To me, I would personally prefer to buy the DLC if I was going to buy something.
Hang on, $500, you could buy a guitar with that amount of money.
An okay guitar. And lessons.
Yeah, and a couple of lessons.
What about Rocksmith? Do you guys remember that? Where had a real guitar which hooked up to...
Oh, that's cool.
The electronics and the things. So it had the lights on the fretboards, and you could play that way on real strings, all hooked up, and then it all goes through that way.
See, how much did that cost?
That was expensive.
Oh, it was?
That was expensive, And you needed the specific guitar to do it. But then it was a real guitar afterwards, so you could unplug and actually go and...
Interesting. You know,
play a bit of real life.
So that worked with Guitar Hero?
It was its own game called Rocksmith. Thing.
Okay, right.
Yeah, and that came out. Yeah, I don't know. I have a feeling that it hit too late.
Yes.
You know, the peak of the rhythm game had gone, and they had kind of missed the boat on this one here. So, yeah, it's interesting to see. I think I'd prefer to buy the DLC and have it. You know, but I don't know. We'll see how we go. Everything's kind of moving towards this sort of subscription model now. So... Pixel Sift, all things video games, Radio Murdoch. Yep, you're on Radio Murdoch. This is Pixel Sift. My name is Johnny, and I've got Scott and Mitch in the studio with me today.
Hello.
And we are talking video games as we do every week. You can listen to us live. Just go to radiomurdoch.com. That's probably the best way to find us. There's a little link there to our stream. You can also get us on the interwebs. You can subscribe with your favorite podcast
player. You need to
stop
saying that. On the interwebs. Makes you sound dated.
It's supposed to be. You know, get on
in a show called Pixel Sieved.
Get on the old World Wide Web.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thank you, Al Gore.
Thank you. we're going to have a little bit of a chat now about there's been an interesting announcement. Someone is breaking free of the electronic clutches of Microsoft. Who can tell me a little bit about that one?
Yeah. I'll take that one. Twisted Pixel, probably best known for...
Half their name is really good.
Yep.
Twisted Pixel, yeah, bang on.
Yeah.
But probably best known for their Splosion Man or Comic Jumper is another one.
Ms. Splosion Man?
Yep, Ms. Sorry.
I'm just...
Splosion People franchise?
Yeah, yep. Splosion Peoples.
Yeah.
Anyway, they've split off from Microsoft after being bought up by them in 2011. And they're once again an independent studio, which is great for them. What else?
So
this isn't the first time Microsoft have done this. Sorry, allowing a developer to go off on their own. It did happen to Bungie back in 2007, which of course led to Destiny, which was huge success. So I mean, they might regret this decision.
Okay,
I'm going to say they regretted the last one for sure.
Did they? Okay, so Twisted Pixel.
Yep.
What did they release prior to the acquisition?
I don't know, on the top of my head, to be honest. All right. Don't know the dates.
It would be interesting to see the quality of games under the before the acquisition, under the acquisition, and now out of it.
Well, when did Splosion Man come out?
That came out Xbox 360 era.
Top of my head, I can't think of a date. But like I said, they were bought in 2011, so if it's pre that, which it doesn't sound like it is.
No, I don't think it was because... Hang on, let's just look it up here.
But you know, they did a lot of good releases to lead up to what is probably their most common one, which is Splosion Man. I mean, I don't see them as a developer releasing any kind of Destiny-esque games, but you know, they've been nifty. And
it's interesting. Okay,
I have.
You've got a bit of a
Explosion Man here, July 22nd, 2009.
So it came out two years before they were.
Interestingly enough. Ms. Splosion Man, July the 13th, 2011. So was that pre?
You would think a lot of that development would done.
Yeah.
Pre though.
Yeah. All right. So from 2011 onward, did they release anything else? Like, what's their repertoire there?
Well, 2015 is now the point that they've kind of hit the thing. Before that, I mean, they had a game called The Moor. Which was
was
another game that came out,
and that's during Microsoft.
Yeah, and they've done other things like Blitz 2, Blitz the League 2,
yes,
and NBA Ballers Chosen One. So they did a bit of sports stuff, and they were kind of came out of Midway Games, if you guys remember Midway Games.
Yeah.
So they're kind of they're alumni of that sort of era. So, I mean, it's interesting because a lot of these companies now get sort of swallowed up by these bigger companies. You know, for example, Naughty Dog for the PlayStation era was purchased by Sony. So that's part of them.
So they are actually, but they have been purchased by Sony.
Okay. Yeah. So they're an in-house studio.
Yep.
Bungie was a good one as well. They released games independently, then got purchased by Microsoft to create the Halo series. Halo then was basically separated as a franchise from the company. So Bungie's last Halo game was Halo Reach. Mm-hmm. After that, it's been taken over by a company called 343 Industries, which is basically just the Halo company.
Yep.
And they do other bits and pieces from that. And then they've gone on to make things like Destiny. And there's also other big famous ones, for example, like Lionhead, which Peter Molyneux created. That actually was purchased by Microsoft as well. Rare as well is another company that was purchased by Microsoft. Which, you know, made lots of famous games from the Nintendo 64 era. You know, they've all kind of come into this thing. There's lots of problems with these. So what I think about this is that when companies like Microsoft act like a big publisher and in this way, it reminds me a lot of when EA went out and purchased a bunch of different companies. The big one I remember is Maxis, for example, who made the SimCity, SimTower, Sims games. Now, Maxis basically doesn't exist anymore.
Yes, that's gone.
And, you know, all the Will Wright, who created the games, he's not part of it. He does other bits and pieces now. And the thing is pretty much gone. And like BioWare, for example, is another company that got absorbed by the EA Borg and, you know, still making things. But
is that in the era where we started to be like, EA is evil?
Kind of,
Yeah, it took us a long time to get there.
There's lots of other companies as well.
But, in the case of Microsoft, they acquired Minecraft, was it last year?
Yeah.
And Mojang. Mojang. And please tweet at us how to pronounce that because arguments have been had.
It's Mojang.
Anyway, so the shine of Minecraft has not come off.
Yeah, but I mean, they haven't actually done anything yet past what
I think they were using it heavily to promote their smart glass thing.
Yeah, look, it's been ported to every single thing you could possibly play it on. If you could play it on your microwave, you could probably play Minecraft on it. You know, it's a big. Interesting enough, you can even play it on the PlayStation as well.
Yes, you can. I was concerned because it was on the PlayStation before the Microsoft acquisition, and I was concerned that they would stop supporting it on the PS4. But they have not. It seems to be on par with the Xbox.
It's too multi-platform now to.
Yeah. I think it would hurt them to not do that.
Look, it's one of these things that you want to get your product to as many people in as many places as you can.
Yep.
You want to be able to access it in the easiest way that they can. It makes sense for them to do that. And
it's good business.
This is why companies like Microsoft go and purchase these other small companies.
Yeah.
Because they have got other people who've got expertise, they've got a good franchise, and they're like, well, we've got the thing now.
Do Microsoft have an animation studio? Do they have one of those?
I don't know that they do.
It'll be interesting to see. That might be what they grab next.
One of the things they were talking about when they launched this Xbox One was a whole bunch of original TV content.
Yeah.
And I know they created something called Microsoft Studios.
Yes.
And that was supposed to be creating this TV content for use on Xbox One. But then after that, they kind of said, nobody wants to watch TV.
Yeah, no one really watched that Halo Nightfall thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's another, there's a podcast series called Hunt the Night.
Okay.
And that is phenomenally popular. As well. It's one of the most popular things to check out. You know, so there's all sorts of stuff. It's going to be interesting to see. Hopefully Twisted Pixel can come out and make a Destiny-style game. I mean, it's not really been the sort of thing that they've been doing previously, but they could do some really interesting stuff act a bit more like an indie developer and do something like that.
Yeah, that's basically what I had in my mind was, now that they've kind of been given whatever freedoms that they weren't privy to at Microsoft, they might be able to, release some kind of groundbreaking games like they did originally.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens with the titles that they made while they were under the Microsoft thing. Like, for example, if, Microsoft wants to make 50 different Splosion People games.
Twisted Pixel will be watching closely.
We will be watching closely.
Yes.
So it's interesting. Yeah, well, with all this stuff, it is big business. These companies get acquired all the time, exactly like film companies as well.
Yep.
You know, some small studio will get purchased by a bigger studio or, a record label will get subsumed into a larger record label. And, it's interesting to see how these things kind of all come together. So you can check out Pixel Sift and all the other great Radio Murdoch shows on www.radiomurdoch.com. Read blogs, check out the upcoming schedule, and listen back to previous shows. Radio Murdoch, the student wave. That's right. You are listening to Radio Murdoch, and this is Pixel Sift. We're pretty close to the end of our show now, so we just want to say thank you very much for tuning in whatever way you've chosen to tune in. You could have tuned into us potentially live.
Yeah, let us know if we were live. That was kind of...
If we are, yeah. Hello Bush Court. Thank you for listening.
Yes. Have a listen to us there. You can also get us on iTunes as well, or you can find us on the Radio Murdoch website. We are radiomurdoch.com/pixel-sift, and it's S-I-F-T. You can get on there. You can download the previous versions of our shows. You can subscribe using your podcast player of choice. You can also check out some of the cool links that we've posted up about that on the blog pages. So for each of our episodes, we're up to episode 3 this week. Thank you very much for tuning in. Let's have a bit of some cool stuff for next week. What are we going to be checking out? I know we didn't get a chance to check out Battlefield beta.
Battlefront.
The beta comes out today, apparently.
Yes. Comes out tomorrow.
Tomorrow, sorry.
Well, yeah. It comes out on the 8th, but I'm not sure if that's American 8th or Australian 8th.
Future time 8th.
But let's just say the 8th, and I will be talking about it next week.
Well, that's exciting. I'll
be playing it all weekend.
Thanks for listening in, guys. We will talk about Battlefront probably for about half an hour next week.
Yep.
And maybe the week after.
Yeah. We'll see you next week.
See ya. Thank you. Bye.
If you're in the market for a super addictive puzzle game, you have to check out Mini Motorways on Apple Arcade. It's a city planning strategy puzzler with an incredibly satisfying gameplay loop. Enjoy unlimited access to over 200 incredibly fun games with no ads and no in-app purchases. From puzzle and adventure games to sports, racing, and multiplayer action games, everyone can count on finding something to love. Head to sifter.com.au/arcade to start your free trial of Apple Arcade today. That's sifter.com.au/arcade for a free 1 month trial of Apple Arcade, and you'll be supporting independent video games journalism. New subscribers only, $9.99 a month after free trial. Plan automatically renews after trial until cancelled.